I want to take as my text this evening the words of verse 52, just a little phrase there, where Jesus said to Bartimaeus, "Thy faith hath made thee whole," or as it could be rendered, "Thy faith hath saved thee." Thy faith hath made thee, or thy faith hath saved thee. These words were spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ to a man called Bartimaeus. I believe the story of Bartimaeus is one of the most encouraging and the most uplifting stories in the Gospels and in the New Testament, for it displays the interest and the compassion that the Lord Jesus Christ had and indeed still has for weak, insignificant, sinful men. As he was departing from Jericho, and he was virtually at the end of his own earthly ministry and life, he had passed through Jericho on his way to Jerusalem for the Passover, where he would be betrayed, tried, crucified, and die for our sins. But in passing through Jericho, he met with this man. On his way into Jericho, he had met with Zacchaeus. You know the story of the little man, the small man. He climbed the sycamore tree to get a view of Jesus. He couldn't see him for the press and for the crowd. That's the press of the crowd, not the press as in the media. I don't think they had journalists in that sense in those days, but the Bible talks about the press of the crowd around the Lord. They flocked around him, and the little man couldn't see him. So he climbed the sycamore tree. And Jesus stopped and he said, "Zacchaeus, come down, for I'm going to your house for tea." And Zacchaeus received him. And the thieving little tax collector was saved and made an honest man when he met the Lord. Then as the Lord left Zacchaeus' home, and he passed through Jericho, and as he was about to exit the city, he came across this man, Bartimaeus. You know, there are many outstanding features in the Savior's encounter with this man. Wonderful aspects and features. We could mention Bartimaeus' condition in verse 46. It says, "Blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging." His condition was tragic, and it was twofold. He was blind and he was a beggar. And he was a beggar because he was blind. No DLA in those days. No government handouts. And so the blind man had to fend for himself. But what could a blind man do? So in poverty, he just sat by the highway side where men and women passed by with his little begging bowl, and he begged. He was in poverty because of his blindness. What a picture that is of man and his sin, of you in your sin. The Bible tells us, "The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the glorious light of the gospel should shine in." Man in his state of sin is blind to the things of God, and because he's blind to the things of God, he's in spiritual poverty. He has no merit. He has no value. He has nothing whereby he can recommend himself to God to receive him. Man is in spiritual poverty because of the blindness of his soul. as pictured in Bartimaeus. But we might mention not only his condition, but his calling. Because in verse 49 it says, "And Jesus stood still." It's not a lovely little phrase. Jesus stood still. He's walking. The Bible tells us he set his face as a flint to go to Calvary. Nothing would distract him. Nothing would stop him from getting to Calvary. And yet as he's leaving Jericho to go to Jerusalem, he stopped. Do you know why he stopped? Because a blind beggar, an old sinner, was calling unto him. That's a wonderful thought. You could be in the depths of spiritual depravity, spiritually bankrupt, and yet if you call unto God, Jesus will listen. And in his earthly ministry, he stopped. That's a lovely thought. And he stopped for you. But what did Jesus stand still to do? It says, and commanded him, that's Bartimaeus, to be called. And it goes on to say, and they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise. He calleth thee. Now do you see a little order there? The Lord told his disciples to call the blind man. And that's the way of it. That's the order God has set in his word, how he calls sinners to himself. There are those, and they tell us, we don't really need to preach the gospel. We don't need to worry about that, because whoever God's going to save, he's going to save. Whoever he's going to call, he's going to call unto himself. But the Lord called this man through his disciples. And they had to go and tell him, you come to Jesus now, for he's calling you. And that's a true reflection of how God would have his work to go on. Jesus called sinners to himself. Listen, he's calling you. He's calling you to come and believe in him. He's calling you to lay down your sin, forsake your sin, and come unto him. And he uses his servants, ministers of the gospel preacher, to call you. You have to come. The Lord called. This man had nothing. Nothing in life. He had a wee bowl that he begged with and had enough to get himself his daily rations. He'd nothing else in life. And yet the Savior called this man to himself. I tell you, he's interested in you. And he's interested in those that are deep down in sin, that sin has left spiritually bankrupt. He's interested in you. And he's calling you to himself. We can mention the Savior's challenge. Verse 51. These are just little features of his meeting and his encounter with Bartimaeus. It tells us, Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? What do you want me to do for you? That's a challenge. And it's a challenge for this reason. The Lord saves no one unless they want to be saved. What did this man want? He wanted his eyesight restored. He wanted to see. And the Lord asked him specifically, what do you want me to do? That might seem strange to us. It would seem common sense should have told the Lord, you've opened the eyes of others. Here's a blind man. What does he want you to do? He wants you to give him his sight. But why did the Lord put him on the spot? Why did the Lord challenge him? What do you want me to do for you? He wanted Bartimaeus to express for himself that he wanted his eyesight restored. He wanted Jesus to restore it. And my friend, that's why the Lord challenges men and women. What do you want the Lord to do for you? Do you want eternal life? Do you want to be saved from your sin? You've got to express it to the Lord. You've got to tell Him. You've got to call upon Him. Like Bartimaeus, Lord, that I might receive my sight. You've got to tell the Lord you want Him to save you. You've got to call on Him in return and tell Him in confession of your sin that you're calling upon Him, that the Lord will grant you eternal life. And then in verse 52, and this was what really struck me as I read this little passage again recently. You have the condition and the calling and the challenge, but then you have the cure. Go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. The Lord didn't ask him, how much have you got in the begging bowl? How much have you collected today? I don't know how much Bartimaeus would have had in that little bowl. They say today that, in fact, I was reading in one of the national papers recently that there are those, and they take themselves down into London. This is in England, of course, and they go down into London and they beg, and they can make more money begging in London than they could do in a day's work. I don't think it was like that in Bartimaeus' day. I think if this man had scraped enough to buy himself a little roll of bread and perhaps get himself some other provisions, it's all he would have had. But the Lord didn't say to him, how much is in the bowl? Give to me the money. Give to me your cloak. Give to me whatever you have, and I give you your eyesight back. No, the Lord just said, thy faith. You see, salvation is not by money and it's not by price. It's not by what we can do or give to God. Salvation is by faith in Jesus Christ and by Him alone. And my friend, if you are ever to be right with God and you're to be saved from your sin, you'll not pay for it. You'll not work for it. You'll believe in Christ and He will freely bestow it upon you. And I want tonight, just for a few moments, to set before you some biblical truths about saving faith. For by grace are ye saved, Paul said, through faith, that not of yourselves. From this little incident, there are a couple of thoughts that I want to set before you about faith. I want you to notice the origin of his faith. How did it all begin? There's a starting point for faith. Bartimaeus, let me say this, and I'm going to point you to a verse in a moment or two, but let me say first of all, Bartimaeus did not believe in Jesus because of what he saw. He was completely blind. He couldn't see a thing. I can recall in the little church in Stranraer where I commenced my ministry, it was a blind man who attended. And, well, it's really quite a sad story in the sense that there was actually another individual who attended the church for a while, and he approached me, and he actually told me, he says, I don't think that man's really blind. For what reason? I have no idea to this day, other than a personal fallout. But he actually questioned whether man was blind or not. And I had to say to him, I can tell you 100%, that man can't see a thing. Because I've witnessed it myself. I was in the home one night, and his son was very, the blind man's son was very young at the time, and he was throwing stuff, as children do, they throw stuff around the house. I can't remember whether it was a ball or something else, but the son threw the ball, and it's coming straight for the blind man's head. And you know what happens. If you can see anything, and someone throws something, and it's coming right for your head, you're going to duck out of the way. Isn't that right? You're going to move your head. And I watched it with my own eyes. The blind man just sat and boing, hit him right in the head. And then he's going to know, get that away. And he scolded the son, but couldn't see a thing. And that was just like Bartimaeus. He couldn't see a thing. He couldn't see the Lord feed the 5,000. He didn't see the Lord Jesus raise Lazarus from the dead. He didn't even view him in the flesh. He couldn't see a thing. He didn't come to faith because of what he saw. I say that for a very good reason. Because it has become a tool of modern evangelism to present dramatizations of the gospel. There's one coming to Armagh, by the way, at Easter, and it's a blasphemy. Jesus Christ Superstar. It's an absolute blasphemy. I remember, too, whenever Mel Gibson made a film called The Passion and interviewed about it, he said that he hoped people would see what happened to Jesus and that they would believe in him. Men and women, the Bible does not teach that men and women come to faith through what they see. There were hundreds who saw the Lord perform the miracles and they didn't believe. No, Bartimaeus, his faith commenced with the hearing of God's precious Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and hearing the word about Jesus Christ. Look at verse 47. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thy Son of David, have mercy on me. It was when he heard of Jesus. And the Bible talks about those that hear the word of God. There's a blessing in hearing the word of God. And I don't know exactly what Bartimaeus heard about Jesus. He heard he was passing away, passing by that way. And he already had heard that he was the Son of David. That was a title of the Old Testament Messiah. He heard that he was the Messiah, that he was the promised Savior, that he was the Deliverer. No doubt he had heard that Jesus had opened the eyes of the blind, and perhaps his mind ran back to the scriptures in Isaiah 42 and 7, that the mission of the Messiah was to, quote, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. And he realized that the one who had opened the eyes of others, he'd heard the ministry and the preaching and the teaching of Christ, that this was the Son of God, and he was convinced that he was the Messiah, the Son of David, and he began to call out, cry out unto the Lord, that Christ would be gracious to him in a similar way. I tell you, men and women will not be saved. They will not exercise faith in Jesus Christ until they hear the message of Christ crucified. And until they hear not merely with the outer ear, the physical ear, but in the heart by that effectual call of the gospel. Now just turn over to Romans 10 for a moment. And you're going to see that Paul brings this out very, very clearly in writing to the church at the city of Rome. He says in verse 13, and here's the great simple statement of the gospel. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The whosoever, that included Bartimaeus, the old blind beggar, and includes you. Whoever it is, there might be in poverty, they might be deep down in sin, but if they call upon the name of the Lord, they'll be saved. But then he goes on in verse 14 to ask, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? Do you notice what Paul is saying in verse 14? He's saying that they'll never call upon Jesus to be saved if they don't believe he's the Son of God? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And he's saying that men need to hear the message of Christ before they'll believe on Christ, before they'll call on Christ. And he's setting down the order. How shall they hear without a preacher? That's why we're to pray. God's people are to pray that preachers will be sent into this world and there'll be ministers in churches who can preach the gospel. For how shall they hear without a preacher? Then in verse 17, he gives that great statement, so then faith cometh by what? Faith cometh by seeing. Faith cometh by a dramatization. No, faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. And Bartimaeus, the first step to him believing in the Son of God for the salvation of his soul and for the renewing of his sight, was to hear the message that Jesus is the Messiah, the Savior of sinners, promised from the fall of man who would come into this world. And in hearing that Jesus was the Messiah, then he believed in him and he called upon him, and his soul was saved because he exercised faith in Christ. Peter said in 1 Peter 1 and 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Men and women are born again. They're saved. They exercise faith by the word of hearing, the word of God. My friend, have you heard that Jesus is Lord? That he's the only Savior of sinners. I'm asking you now, not merely have you heard that you were taught in Sunday school, or your mother told you, or your father told you. I'm asking you now, have you heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest? Oh, then come to him and believe in him. Faith's origin, it commences with a hearing. It's connected to the hearing of the gospel, the hearing of the word of God. But look back to Mark chapter 10. I want you to note something else about saving faith. Not only its origin, it commences with the hearing of the word of God, but I want you to see the opposition to his faith. Because in these verses, we're told that Bartimaeus, as he came to Christ, there were barriers put up in his way. There were those there to hinder him. There were things there to oppose him. And I tell you, for everyone that truly comes to Christ, there'll be a battle. There'll be opponents to overcome. Look at verse 47. The crowd hindered him. When he heard that it was Jesus, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thy Son of David, have mercy on me. Verse 48. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. Many were there, and as Bartimaeus began to call upon the Lord, there was a great company there, and they told him, you just keep quiet. Maybe they said to him, that's an important man, and he's on his way to Jerusalem on an important mission. He's not interested in an old beggar like you. You're lying in the street begging. You're filthy. You're a nobody. This man would have no time for the likes of you. And they told him, you just keep quiet. Doesn't it remind us that there are those who will endeavor to hinder and oppose men and women coming to Christ? And perhaps they're people that are close to you, a loved one, a friend. Just giving another illustration from my time in Scotland, there was an old man and woman lived just outside the town of Dumfries. They've both passed on now. The husband in particular had a great interest in the gospel. They actually were from Northern Ireland originally. The man had a great interest in the gospel, and talked to him on many occasions. He told me one time that He was invited to attend a mission in a little village called Glenarm. And he was determined to go to that mission and get saved. He was determined to go that night and get saved. But his wife loved the public house, loved to go to the dances and the pleasure houses of the world. She didn't want her husband to get saved. And he told me, she knew I was going that night to get saved. She told me, you stay at home with the children and I'll go to the mission tonight. And she hindered her husband getting saved. It took some 50 years to pass by in that man's life before he bowed his head in his home in a little cottage between Dumfries and New Abbey. Some 50 years passed. And as an old man, the joy of pointing him to the Lord in his home. But oh, how there were those all those years ago and ready to hinder him and put him off coming to the Lord. Maybe there's someone in your life and you want to call out. You want to come to Christ, but there's a friend. There's a loved one. There are people to face and you'd have to tell them you've become a Christian and it's holding you back. I pray tonight God will give you the heart of Bartimaeus. For in verse 48 we read this. But he cried out the more a great deal when there were those saying, you keep silent. Jesus isn't interested in you. He cried out all the more. He cried out all the louder. Thou son of David, have mercy on me. No one's going to keep me back. My friend, don't let anyone keep you back from getting right with God. Oh, the crowd hindered him. But in verse 50, notice that the cloak hindered him. For when he was coming to Christ and the Lord called him, it says, and he casting away his garment rose, came to Jesus. He had a big heavy cloak, keep him warm. Oh, this would have been in and around the spring, our springtime. And you know what it's like whenever the nights, they're going from the colder nights to the milder nights. Well, even in the spring, you can get those cold days or cold nights. And Bartimaeus, he had the cloak around him. It would have been a heavy cloak. And to make sure he got to Jesus, he threw it off. He didn't want it to hinder him. He didn't want it to slow him down. He cast it off so that he could come and get to Christ. You will know that the cloak at times in the Bible is used to speak of the sinner's self-righteousness. All our righteousnesses, Isaiah said, are as filthy rags. And now we're thinking not of people holding us back from coming to Christ, but neither are those and their cloak of self-righteous or respectability. They think that they are good enough. They clothe themselves in the garments of self-righteousness. Like Adam and Eve, they've sewn fig leaves together to try and cover up the shame of their sin. My friend, no matter how good you think you are outside of Christ, you'll never be good enough to get into heaven. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. It's not a garment that will get you into heaven. It's a garment that will take you to hell. You need the garment of God's salvation. Don't you think that you are good enough to get to heaven? My friend, in your sin, there's none that doeth good. No, not one. And yet, oh, Bartimaeus, he cast it off. And listen, if you're going to come to Christ, you've got to cast off every other hope, every other thing you might trust in that you think would make you good enough before God. True faith lays aside the garments of self-righteousness and receives the garment of God's salvation. That's what Bartimaeus did. I want you to see tonight one final thought. We've considered the origin of his faith. It was birthed in hearing the word of God and the message of Christ. And we've considered the opposition to his faith. I want you to notice the obedience of his faith. In verse 52, the Lord said to him, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole," or "thy faith has saved thee," as it is in the margin. And immediately he received his sight. God's salvation is immediate. We can't stress that enough. Listen, if I preach that every week, don't you hold it against me. Because I want to tell you, there's this false notion spawned in hell that salvation's a process. That somehow you start a process that you hope you'll do enough, you'll go to church enough, you'll take the sacraments enough, you'll be holy enough, you'll pray enough, and at the end of that process, you'll get to heaven. The Bible teaches that salvation happens in a moment of time. The soul is saved instantly. The sinner calls upon the Lord. Now, that instantaneous salvation will lead to a life of service, lead to a new life that will continue until the day and hour you leave this world and get to heaven. But the reality is your soul is saved for in a moment of time. Just as Bartimaeus received his sight immediately, the moment the sinner exercises faith in Christ and Christ alone, their soul is saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul said, and thou shalt be saved. It's instantaneous. Do you notice what the Lord, or how the verse concludes? And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. The way refers to the road. The Lord's walking along the way to go to Jerusalem. And this man, in trusting in Christ, he obeys the Lord and he begins to follow Jesus. There's an openness. There's a public profession. Men and women, if you're going to trust in Christ, you have to be willing to openly profess him and publicly take the side of Christ. Public confession follows personal profession. In Romans 10 and 9, there's a little children's chorus. Romans 10 and 9 is a favorite verse of mine. And it tells us there that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And this man, in obedience to the word of God, he begins to follow the Lord. And it's a public following of the Lord. True saving faith follows the Lord, follows on, trusts Christ, follows Christ, and has that public profession. They are a believer in Jesus Christ. Is your faith open for all to see and know? Are you following the Lord in the way? Can the Lord say of you, like he said of Bartimaeus, "Go thy way, thy faith has saved thee"? I trust, my friend, that you are saved by faith alone, for nothing else will get you into heaven. Let's